We want to build a community and share other women's stories.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the She Who Leads podcast. Today, I have Shelley with me. Shelley has recently finished in her role as the SVP of Finance from Juniper Networks. Shelley, great to meet you, and thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you, Terry. I am so excited to be here and looking forward to our conversation today.
Thank you. As a start, we normally open the floor to you just so we can get to know you a little bit better. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself in terms of where did you grow up? What was your childhood like? We'd love to know a little bit more.
Great. Wow. It's been a long journey, I would say, literally and figuratively. So I grew up in India and we moved back here about 28 years ago or something. It's been a long time. Most recently, as you mentioned, I worked at Juniper Networks for almost 16 years. Seemed like a home to me. And right now I am in between jobs. I would be starting my new job, more to come on that, on December 15th. So first time in my life, what I am doing is I am enjoying my time, and this podcast couldn't have come at a better time. So from my family perspective, I have two boys. Both the boys are out of the house. My husband at the moment is traveling. So it's me and my dog at home, literally, and we are having fun.
And the first time in a very long time where you have not been working and had a bit of time to yourself, right?
Absolutely. Not been working and not have to worry about mom, what's for lunch or what's for dinner. So.
Exactly. Well, thank you for the insight. Obviously, do you mind just sharing? So your career has been fantastic to date, and congratulations on the incoming role. That's very exciting. Do you mind just walking us through your career so far? So what has led you to where you are today, and what has that journey looked like?
Thanks, Terry, for that question. And the reason I pause is when you are, early on in your career, you listen to people talk about what should be a 2-year goal, 3-year goal, 5-year goal, what do you want to be where you grew up, and kind of think about or plan your career that way. For me, it was never like that. I think for me, starting from what I wanted to study, it started with, I want to do what I have fun doing and what I enjoy. Even for job, that's how it has been, that whenever I'm in a job, I'm doing it, I'm enjoying, I'm having fun, curious to learn more. And, you know, that's how the career kind of happened over time. There is a lot of work involved support, a lot of support. I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail. But what I'm trying to say is I did not plan. The course was not charted, but it's almost like, you know, just do and having fun doing what I was doing. And very fortunate to be at this point in my career today.
Yeah, I love that. I think you see two different routes for how people go about it. Some people are very structured and regimented in terms of what they feel like they have to go and do, and then others actually follow their passions. And it sounds like that's where this has taken you. So it's really nice to hear that. In terms of career to date, I imagine there've been a lot of decisions along the way. Were there any key decisions throughout your career that got you to this point, particularly thinking around any risks that maybe you had to take?
Lot of them. Some I regret in the sense that life could have been at a different, could have taken a different turn. But most of them, I feel like, I know it's a very cliche that everything happens for the best. And right now I'm having my fingers crossed because, as I mentioned, I am at a turning point in my career. I think the guiding principle always has been, I know I'm still a very, very much of a driven by my brain person, but when it comes to where I work, who do I work for, what kind of work, I followed my heart. If the gut says that, yes, this sounds good, and I am okay to be able to leap in, then I just go all in. But if there is a hesitation that does not feel right, then I try to, stay away. So some of the pivotal things I would say is starting from the very beginning, growing up in India, when you're studying, it's like, oh, are you going to be a doctor or an engineer? I mean, if you're a smart person, you're doing well in school, are you going to be a doctor or an engineer? I'm like, yeah, my older sister picked, like, she was going to be a doctor. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be an engineer. Fine. Went on that journey, and come after high school, I picked up the books as to what it, I'm like, absolutely not. This is not something I want to do. So going into finance and accounting side was not viewed as you're smart enough, but my parents were very open to that idea. I would say for their times, and even now, I think my parents have been very supportive and never kind of forced us to fit in those traditional molds. So I picked finance, and even a few years down the line, then again came a point. We moved here, and a lot of the jobs were engineering jobs. And again, there was a decision, maybe I should go into computer science. Again, took some courses, enrolled myself, community college, went to learn Java, I believe. And I'm sitting over there, took two classes. Oh my gosh, I'm like, absolutely not. I had my husband do most of my assignments for that class just to be able to pass. But so I was very sure of what I like and what I don't like. That helped just from which direction I need to go. And when it comes to work and career, again, as I said, what I've focused on is that how is the role? What is the content of the job that I'm doing versus the title that it carries? And this was the advice I had gotten from my mentor a long time ago, and I've lived by it. Rather than chasing the title, I've always worried or worked towards what can I do, what is the impact and influence my job is bringing, and title always follows. So it has worked out, and
So
have fun
true.
along the way. Have fun along the way.
Yeah, so true. Actually, sometimes you're probably so like going so much for the title that you forget to have fun along the way. And I think it's really important. This conversation for you and I, we're going to focus a bit today on obviously self-doubt, authenticity, imposter syndrome, all those glorious things that we experience as leaders, but also as females, I think particularly. Were there some elements of self-doubt along this journey? Obviously, you have done incredibly well to get to where you are, but I imagine you didn't completely back yourself the entirety of that journey.
It never goes away, the self-doubt part. Whether it be, I know we were exchanging that conversation about choosing a designer bag. What looks good on you? Does this color look good on you? That's what girlfriends are for. It never goes away, but I think what you a series of good decisions or decisions that you are proud of, series of that, I think, helps you recognize when you are going down that spiral of self-doubt, and helps you guide that, yes, you're doubting yourself, but keep going and you will find a way. You will not get lost. So you kind of tend to recognize the feeling, and you can push through even with the feeling rather than being paralyzed by it. That is what I've learned. It wasn't there, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, where it was more about, and especially when it comes to career. I think when it comes to kids, I still ask, I mean, both my boys are all grown up. I still ask them, Did I completely mess you up? Was I a good
Oh.
mom? Was this? And they're like, "Mom, don't worry about it." I think so that is what I have learned, that I think having that self-doubt sometimes makes you prepare for some of the what if scenarios, so you're always prepared, or is a antidote to complacence. But I think what we have to work towards is not let that self-doubt hold you back. I still feel self-doubt, but I think now I have learned to overcome it. You also talked about imposter syndrome, and especially imposter syndrome for women. For me, I didn't grow up here. being an immigrant, sometimes you feel a little bit fish out of water because
Course.
in conversations, you don't have the same context about movies or sports or things that even history tidbits that you were not part of. When you were growing up, you were in a completely different culture, a completely different country. Imposter syndrome is there. Again, just like self-doubt, I think some of it you almost. I compare it to when you're hiking, right? When you're down below, you're like, "Oh my God, I will never be able to climb that mountain." And you do the first 2 miles and you're like, "Yeah, I've done it." And then two more, and so on and so forth. I think imposter syndrome, in a way, it probably is there, but similar to self-doubt. Once you one accomplishment after another, it tells you that yes, you can do it. Yes, you deserve it. I think it's a real thing, and we as female leaders have to work hard. What we can do is support each other. I've gotten tremendous support from my friends, from my mentors. Don't have to be women, but the mentors around you, and you get that reassurance. And you just have to be the way I counter it is I'm usually prepared. I prepare myself and work harder than a lot of people to overcome some of that fear.
Yeah, so true. Actually, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room, right? But so long as you have put the work in, that's the main thing. I think I try very much to lead with that with my son, but it's difficult to then lead in the same way, right? And you kind of think, would I apply the same advice to myself? And not necessarily always, but I try to. You are a very authentic person, and it comes through in heaps when I'm talking to you, that it really does show. But how do you balance that ambition with being authentic?
I had listened to somebody, and I think one of the things that stuck with me was about authenticity, and I try to be authentic. And one of the things from the talk that stayed with me is bring your 100% to the work. It should not be, and some people can do that, some people cannot, it comes naturally. But if you have a work version versus a home version, it is just a lot of effort to separate those two, and when do you switch? So for me, being authentic is almost easier. I know sometimes, especially now when I'm going over to a new place, that I would have to take some time to understand. It should not be too much for everyone, right? All of me. I think that is one thing at Juniper, which is why I was able to thrive, because actually one of the values, we used to call it the Juniper way, was be authentic. And that was something that was cherished, that was something that we all were asked to practice and was practiced by the leaders. So we were it never it wasn't difficult at all, and it kind of matched with how I am. So All I would say is being authentic means that you don't have to work hard on hiding a part of you, but for you to be able to be the most authentic, you will have to work towards that, right? With your team, once you've built the trust, then they understand that, yes, there are good days and there are bad days, and you are being fully transparent on both the type of days, and then the team understands you, and so are the people who work with you. Again, it may work for many, may not work for all, but that's the version that works for me, and I cannot imagine being anywhere else.
Just in the sense of obviously kind of tackling that and going somewhere new and thinking about imposter syndrome, how are you feeling about going to a new place after so long?
How am I feeling? So, slightly excited, but shit scared. So, sorry about that. Being in one place for 16 years, knowing where all the bodies are buried, you know your way around. Going into a new place, obviously, there is a lot of expectation. And I've been one of those that I think I hold a bar very high for myself. That's going to be a big test. As my mentors, and that's where your network of people who have seen you grow, who believe in you, and reassurance from them that, you got it, you'll be successful, you'll be able to do it. And I know they're not saying it just because. They truly believe in me, and some of that confidence I've been able to get. And the other important part is where you're going. I believe the place that I'm going is the culture, the environment, and the place that I've picked is the place that my heart says that I'll thrive there. I've met with the leaders, and I feel very positive about that place. That was a very important criteria for me to pick where I go. So, fingers crossed, I'm excited.
Very exciting. It is very exciting. Obviously, you're in a very different spot now, right? When you were at Juniper, you had two young children and obviously kind of committing to a very intense role while managing being a mum. And I imagine that that was not easy, and I'm sure you missed some things along the way. How did you deal with that? And obviously you touched upon it there in terms of asking your children whether it impacted them, and I'm sure they said no, but that is something we carry with us, right? As mums, it's a lot. I think when you are at work, you want to take 100% of yourself to work, but then it's hard to give 100% at home if most of you is thinking about work all the time. So how was that?
And I'll start with the idea we were exploring earlier about self-doubt. I think that self-doubt, not just on the career part, but that self-doubt was very much with the kids and with the family as they were growing up. Always that, career can come later if I'm not spending enough time with them. Am I doing some irreversible damage? I see kids who get dropped off and picked up and have both parents or one parent at home. Most of the time they grew up, we didn't have hybrid work. I had to do long hours, sometimes weekends. One person I have not yet mentioned is my husband and my support system, both from the family side, from both sides. I think that was very strong. He had been one of those who had, if I was not able to pitch in, then he was there. So we worked very well like a team. And the kids understood that, both my parents are working. Mom has a tough job, so I work in finance. So we have those quarter end
Of
kind of things.
course.
And once there is quarter end, it's always like kids, even our friends know. Okay, Shelly's quarter end, meaning we can't do, these things. Late nights, weekends. If the kids have holidays, I mean, there were numerous occasions where both the boys were with me at work, and they were given, okay, this is where you're staying, and you're spending your time here. So they'd gone with me to work many times. It was a lot of, and especially when one of them got sick, and you give them Tylenol and send them to daycare, and you're like,
Yeah, it's
okay, you.
awful, isn't it?
Constantly debate, is he sick enough to for me to take the day off, or can he manage it? That kind of thing. It was difficult. So many times I actually thought about, should I go part-time? Should I go into teaching? Well, teaching was a very brief moment, and then I'm like, no, I don't, I cannot do that to
Children
the
all
poor kids.
the
Oh
time,
my no. will not be a good idea. So, but I was seriously considering a role, take a step back. But I think my support system was the one, and mostly I would say my husband was like, no, we got it, and this is something, kids are growing up, and we did whatever we could to help with the kids, and I'm glad I did, because it's not on them. I see sometimes moms give up if they want to, if they really wanted to work, they give up, and there is a little bit of a pressure on the kids that because of you we gave up our career. So for the kids, I think it's a lot of burden to carry. I mentor. I talk to women at work, and females going through the same dilemma. You have to listen to your heart, what you need to do, but you cannot get it all. I think they say work-life balance. Yeah, there is work or there is life. Sometimes there is balance, most times there is not. I think there's a lot of priorities and choosing. So you have to see what works for you, but it's not going to be easy, but it is doable if you really want something.
On that then, do you think women can have it all? That grand old saying.
I think they can have it all, but not at the same time. So they can have a lot of fun, but they can have, for me, a lot of fun was sometimes on Friday evenings when kids are asleep or taken care of. Saturday you can take turn, but I think you have to put in the work, and you need to be very careful in deciding what that all is. You have to be ready to let go of some things. Everything is not going to be perfect, but when you decide what your bucket of all is, then you have to put in as much effort as you want, as you can, not want, as you can, to go for it. Yeah. And then you can have it all. But
It's
yeah.
so true, isn't it? It's actually what does it all mean to you? And then you can have it all, and then you can think about what that is. And some weeks for me, that is going to the gym, and some weeks it's not.
There you go. Yeah, I remember, same thing for me. Workout is one of those things that literally gets my mind going, and if I haven't been to the gym or worked out, that was one thing that was important to me. So I used to find or join a gym or find a class which was morning time, 5:30 to 6:30 or 6 to 7, and I knew I had to wake up my kids because then they have to get to the school. So on my way back, the alarm was set, but then I'll call my older one, okay, wake up your little brother, I'm on my way, and all the lunch prep's done the night before, and then wake up the husband. So it's like you have to manage, and now I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, it was crazy. But because I wanted it, I was like, yeah, in my all bucket, till whatever grade, I'm like, I need to pack healthy lunches for the kids, I need to go to the gym, and I don't want to miss my early morning meeting. So that is in the bucket of all, and also go out with friends on the weekend. So
I love that you keep that as a priority. It's important. It's
yeah.
important.
Oh no, I think the you work Monday to Friday. I used to call Thursday almost Friday because you're already, starting to anticipate that.
Yeah, I
Yes.
agree. You've talked a little bit about it, but you talk to us about your mentors that you've had along the way.
I think having mentors is almost having a life support at some points where you are drowning, where you are stuck, you want to make a decision, and you want to be able to talk to somebody to help you guide on what the right path is. In some cases, I mean, yes, you talk to your spouse, you talk to your friends, but it's not the same because A, there you have to find mentors you can trust who are going to give you good advice. So I think that is one function of mentors. And the other one is at work, I mean, these are the people who will speak for you, who will speak on your behalf when you're not in the room. I think that's an important one as well because you're not always there. So you need people who will truly root for you. And it's because, I mean, it's not because just because they like you, it's because they get to see the side of you. And the effort that you put in, that not everybody at all times, that is not visible to everyone. So it's almost like kind of amplifying what you're doing. I've kept in touch with a lot of mentors, present and past, and you kind of different phases of life require different type of mentorship. I think it is such a vital relationship that we all should spend time in developing. Sometimes things happen organically, but sometimes you have to put in an extra effort to be able to do that. I mean, the benefit of mentorship I was able to see very early on in my career. I started at Johnson & Johnson, and there they had a very formal mentor-mentee program. So I enrolled in it, and I figured out some of the, what our expectations. And at Juniper, initially we didn't have a formal program, but I think some of the relationships I developed early on and continued with helped me quite a bit in that journey for me.
Yeah, I think it is really important. I think some people try and want to have mentors, but maybe they struggle with seeking them out. Obviously, you talked about having mentors within the organization that you're working for, but did you have external mentors too? And how would you go about finding one if you were kind of finding your first mentor?
I would say most of mine were very organic. Started again very early on in the career, back at J&J days. In fact, one of the mentors, I call her a mentor, but she was a coworker, but she had been in the role a bit longer. I talked about that self-doubt where I was seriously considering should I go part-time, and she and I used to talk about it, and she would help me. At that time, she would just, okay, let's talk about this. Let's play it out and help me look at things. She was not a mom at that time, so she helped me look at things from a different perspective. What if you did this? What if you did that? I feel that it was, and she had no vested interest in me going one way or the other, but just helped me look at things very objectively, and that helped me make those key decisions. I think I would say and I do invest some of my time in doing that just because I know how important that relationship is. I think you have to find someone who you can connect with. As I said, at different phases of your career journey, you have different needs. So you may need a mentor for one need versus the other. But then finding the right person to be your mentor at that time, I think that's an important path. that we have to invest time in, whether it be inside the organization or it could be outside the organization. Again, very individual preferences, very individual needs, but I think that is something that we all owe to ourselves.
Yes, yeah, I agree. I've had some fantastic mentors along the way, and as you say, still very much in touch with them. Probably don't pester them as much as I used to anymore because I don't find the time, but I probably will again at some point, I'm sure.
For me, it's usually I would text, "Hey, do you have a
And
minute?"
they're like, oh no.
Never a minute.
Oh, Shelley, what are we going to
It's like, yeah, I just want to vent. Am I
do?
being completely crazy if I'm thinking like that? And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes
Yeah.
it's like no, but let's talk about it,
Yes. It's a bit, you just said, obviously, sometimes you need your girlfriends to talk about choosing a bag, right? I think mentors do help with the mental load of work. And we spend a lot of our time at work. So it's important to have those key people. That whether they are officially titled mentors or people that just naturally you go to for advice, I think that's the main takeaway, isn't it, in terms of having just someone to support you and help to be a sounding board. We normally ask these kinds of questions as we get to this point in the podcast, and I think it's always useful for people to understand and compare in comparison to that there's normally a lot of similarities with leaders at this point. But what have been the some of the biggest lessons in your career? What are the best things that you've learned, both personally and professionally? Because I think it's important.
Lessons for me, I think, call it lessons or call it things that I live by or I think are really critical. For me, it has been always about people. I think now at a you start your career journey as an individual contributor, you're still working with a lot of people, but as you become a leader, you cannot scale, you cannot do anything, you're only as good as your team, right? It's almost that. I feel that being able to build that trust and a relationship with the people you work for, with the people who work for you. And I'm not just saying that, just go out for happy hours and, put in your required time. It's truly being able to build that trust that they got you and you got them, kind of a thing. We're in this, you're sailing a big ship or a lifeboat or whatever. Sometimes it is a big ship that you're trying to steer, and sometimes it is a lifeboat. You're all in the middle of a storm and you're on a lifeboat, and you want your people to be the people who you can trust with your life. And that once that storm comes, that's not the time to build it. I know during that time those bonds become stronger, but that is an investment that happens over a period of time. I think it's and it takes time, it takes patience, it takes at some point it also takes, I would not say that, picking the right crew. I've had instances in my over the years in my career where I had a team and a member or two that I realized was not the right one. Then you have to make that tough decision of letting them go, because it's not fair to the other members of the team. So, you have to practice and show, demonstrate accountability. But all of those relationships and being built on the true trust that you are working towards a common interest, that's one. Second, with people, what I've said is when you're picking the crew, I always say it's the attitude, not the aptitude, that matters the most. Once you find the people who are willing to put in and they have the right attitude towards the job, I feel I've seen that you put the right person in the right role, give them the right tools, and they blossom. So that's very important. The third one, which has stuck with me, is actually two more. One is love what you do, which always works. And curiosity. It's always been one of those things that if you're doing something, just okay, this is my job, this is what I'm going to do. But okay, what, how does it fit? Where does it go? Where does it lead you? So that intellectual curiosity of knowing more about just what you're doing, I think that has been very important. How can you help? What's the influence? Once you are at a certain level, I think it becomes easy because you know what the impact is. Usually it is at a company level, but once you're starting out fresh, having that mindset helps you connect the dots. And once you are in the habit of connecting the dots, I think that stays with you, and that helps you solve the problems in a different way.
Yes, I love that. I love how fun kind of it's an undertone to what you talk about, and it's really important. I think so many people don't have fun at work.
You spend more time with people at work than people at home. Sorry, I think when my husband or my kids would hear that and they would say, yes, that is so true. That is
Is
so true.
true. It is true.
So you have to surround yourself with people who you like spending time with.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because sometimes when even when I'm not working, I'm still hanging out with my colleagues, and you think, why are we still together? We've spent so much time
I
together.
know. I know. or texting about the funny
Exactly.
Instagram reels that you saw
Yeah.
or a joke that you. So I'm not
Exactly.
even at the company. I still having drinks with work colleagues today.
Yeah. There
Yeah.
you go. There you go. The legacy lives on.
Absolutely.
If you could leave one piece of advice for future generations of women, what would that be?
Future generation of women. I mean, one for the current generation of women, which is paid forward. I think it took a lot of effort. It took a lot of support from that's for me and the leaders where I am at, that we now have to do the same for the future generation, because the participation where we should be, we're 50% of the population, but in leadership position, we're nowhere there, so we have to do our part.
Yeah.
I think for future generation of women, I would say that it's not, there is no playbook of what makes it work. I think, but having the trust and confidence in yourself, you believing in yourself is the first step. Yes, there will be self-doubt, but use that to help go faster. Prepare for the worst storms versus let it hold you back. It's normal. Each one of us, even today, each one of us have that. It's not because you're not capable. It's just because you're thinking about it and you care for what you're doing and you care to do a good job. That's why you're having that self-doubt. But don't let it hold back. Don't let it tell you that you cannot do it. Because yes, you can. If you want it, yes, you can.
Exactly. It depends how much you want it, right? One of my mentors once said to me, you can get anything you put your mind to. And it's so true. It's when you actually think, oh, and how much you want it. So if you really want it, you're going to get it. And I don't think I believed her at the time. And then obviously you think about it and you think, actually, maybe that's true. And I think it really does. It's underpinned from our core, isn't it, in terms of what we want to go and get.
It just depends on how much effort goes in, right? I mean, it's yes, it's doable. Everything is, and you can, but it's like how much effort are you willing to put in into it? And then, just have that mindset and go at it.
Exactly. In terms of legacy, we talked a little bit about this, but what legacy would you like to leave behind?
I've had the pleasure of having great leaders. I would say, from a legacy perspective, if I'm able to kind of create the leaders who again, give their teams that similar kind of environment where you are excited to come to work, you're excited to do what you're doing, you find what you're doing fun even in the difficult times. If my leadership style is able to create that kind of a leaders for the future generation, I think that's something that I would love, because it's so different. I've worked for some times in toxic environments. I've had a few times leaders or managers who I didn't like, and I knew what kind of an impact it could have. So if we're able to each able to create something good and provide that kind of environment for our teams, I think that is something I would love to do. I'm not an easy person to work for, by the way. The standards are high, but we have fun along the way. That's a
Was going to say, I'm sure you make it fun. I'm sure you
promise.
make it fun.
Yes. And we're in this together always. I think that's the thing. Whatever we are doing, we're in this together. I remember we did late nights. If I'm not able to help, I'll be like, okay, I'll go pick up the dinner, and let's open a bottle of wine and let's get through it. So, being able to create that kind of work environment, and similarly at home, even if the problems are difficult, let's work on it together and let's try to solve it.
Well, Shelley, it's been a pleasure. I would love to come and be a fly on the wall in your team at some point. Sounds great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for sharing all of your insights. Thanks so much for bringing the laughs along the way. And I'm sure that our listeners will take a lot from this. So thanks very much.
Thank you for having me. It was great pleasure talking about it, and thanks a lot.